The title of our lesson today is One Situation, Three Attitudes, and our devotional and background study comes from the book of Luke, chapter 10, verses 19 through 29. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Would there be any announcements before we go to our class? If not, let's go to Sunday school.
Our lesson text picks up where the devotional and background study left off, and that's in the 10th chapter of Luke, and it'll be verses 30 through 37. And this is, of course, Jesus answering the young lawyer's question here. And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go, and do thou likewise. Now, this lawyer here is a member of the religious community at that time. The lawyer being, and I'm sure y'all already know this, someone, it's not speaking of civil law, but rather the Judea law, the law of things that were allowed and things that were forbidden in the Old Testament, the worship of God. So, and this people at this time had added to that law, and it was quite complicated and convoluted. Not that that's the way that God had intended for it to be to start with, but that they had I guess, had opinions as to what things meant, and they kind of added that in. And the religious leaders at that time had kind of gotten things into a mess. From what I can read and understand, from reading various commentaries that I've read. But this lawyer here is someone that has professed that he knows the scriptures and the way that they had interpreted those scriptures. He's put himself forth as being someone that understands these things. And he has gone up to Jesus and he said, what should I do to inherit eternal life? I suspect in his own mind he already thought he had that answer. He probably felt like to obey these laws that he had was what was going to give him eternal life. That is the laws that Moses, the Ten Commandments essentially, and then all the things that they had interjected into the Ten Commandments and the various laws that they had. But I suspect in his mind that was the answer to that question, to obey those laws completely and to fulfill those laws, not understanding in his heart that that wasn't possible, that it had never been possible for man to live according to the law to a degree that they could be fulfill that law completely and enter into eternal life. So he's put this question before the Lord. More than likely, it says here, it tempted him. More than likely, he thought he was going to trip him up somewhere, somehow or the other, that he had a knowledge of the law that was so complete that he was going to be able to refute anything that Jesus said and show him up. I'm thinking that was probably his intention. But the Lord turned it around on him and said, what does the law say? What do you read in the law? Interpret that for me. He's challenging him more or less here. And the man answered him and said that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy strength with all thy mind and thy labor as thyself. Now he gave a pretty good answer there. He had enough understanding of the situation and enough awareness to know that this was important, that this was where man ought to be, to have this love for other people. He understood that. And Jesus answered and said, thou hast answered right. This do and thou shalt live. But the man wasn't still willing to come to grips with the fact that this was really the answer. He was still looking for something else. And he said, well, who is my neighbor? I'm not exactly sure what answer he was hoping to get there. I suspect it would have been something along the lines of the people you know, the people you hang out with, the people that you go, in his case, the tabernacle or the temple with. Those will be your neighbors. That's probably what he was hoping to get. That's not what he got at all. And the Lord then went on into what I just read in our lesson text to talk about this man that is attacked by the thieves. I think there's a lot of things that could be brought out here in a lot of examples, but I guess the primary thing is it relates to this lawyer here. This professed religious person of the time was that the other religious people of the time are shown here to not be very good people. The Levite and the certain priest, it says, they passed by this man that has been beaten and robbed. Now, we think about that, and I would like to think I wouldn't do that. If there were somebody on the side of the road laying there bleeding and in need of hurt, I'd like to think that I would stop and help that person out. Now, when it actually comes down to it, when it's late at night and you're traveling along the road, you're going to be a little bit more hesitant. I mean, let's be honest. There are a lot of things that cross your mind when you have to stop your car and get out on a deserted road somewhere and help somebody out. Primarily being, is this a trap? Is that person really hurt, or are they laying there to get somebody to step out of their car so they can run? That's what our mind comes to. I think we'd all agree that if there's someone truly in need, somebody that really is, and put aside the thoughts of it being a trap or anything, if there's somebody truly in need, we ought to stop and help them out. That's our duty. And these people were in the same situation. They should have known this. They should have stopped and helped this man out. And I doubt that they came up with the thing, well, it could be a trap, I better walk around. The simple fact being, you know, if you're walking down a street, that's a whole different thing than driving a car. But I'm getting sidetracked here. The truth is, they had a hard, cold heart. They weren't concerned with this person that they didn't know. That wasn't their neighbor. That was just somebody that they weren't attached to in any way. And so they bypassed him. And this Levite and this priest that did this thing, as I said, they were the religious people of the time. They were the supposedly God's people at that time, as was this lawyer. So the lawyer can identify with him. He can think of priest and he can think of Levites probably that he knows. He's probably meets with them, talks to them on a daily, at least a weekly basis. And so that's hitting really close to home for him. But then Jesus goes on down and he talks about a certain Samaritan. Now, I'm sure y'all all know that the Samaritans were they were Jews that had intermarried with another race of people. They were, I guess, to put it one way, they were half-breeds. They were a mixed race people, and they were really looked down upon by the other Jews. They were not viewed as being anybody that was worth anything at all. And so when Jesus says a certain Samaritan, to this lawyer's mind immediately is going to come forth a person that's not worth anything, somebody to be shunned, somebody to be stayed away from, don't even go into their cities. And you can read about the way the Jews had with the Samaritans, and the woman at the well comes to mind when Jesus spoke with her, and she even said, well, you're a Jew, you don't have anything to do with the Samaritans. She knew how they viewed her, and not because of her of the number of husbands that she had or anything else, but just the fact that she was a Samaritan. She knew people would look down upon her. But so when Jesus says, and a certain Samaritan, immediately this lawyer's mind goes to a person that's not worth anything, and certainly doesn't go to a person that's going to be a neighbor. But the Samaritan goes on and he takes care of this man that's fallen by the that's been robbed and stripped and left half dead here. The Samaritan helps the man out. Now, whoever wrote our Sunday school lesson, I didn't really understand on page 33 where it says, in the third paragraph, the Samaritan, a dog in the eyes of the Jews, was attacked by those who had no respect for him or themselves. I don't know if he's talking about just in general attacked, or if he's equating this man that's been stripped and left on the side of the road for half dead. I don't really quite get that, because it says ill-gotten gain is acceptable among those who have not the Spirit of God to guide them. That seems to be referring back to the thieves. But we don't know that the man that was robbed was a Samaritan. It doesn't say that. Jesus didn't call him a Samaritan. He just said a certain man. And since he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, that doesn't sound to me like a Samaritan. It sounds like a Jew to me. So this Samaritan, from what I can gather, is stopping and helping out a Jew. Probably a Jew that would look down upon him if had he been conscious. We don't know whether he's conscious or not. But nevertheless, the Samaritan helps that man out. He does everything he can for him. Sets him up on his own beast. Uses his own oil and his wine that he has with him. Transports him to a place, an inn, where he can receive more help. And spends money and leaves money with the host of the inn in to take care of him, and then makes a promise that when I come back by, I'll pay whatever other did. In other words, the Samaritan did everything he could, everything that was in his power to take care of this man who more than likely was a Jew and would have looked down on him in any other circumstance, and also a Jew who had been bypassed by his own people. The priest and the Levite had passed him by. So Jesus is bringing this all right home to the lawyer, and I'm sure that the lawyer, as this is told, is becoming uncomfortable. He's being revealed unto himself what type of person he is. And then Jesus in the 36th verse says, "Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" And the lawyer can't even bring himself to say the Samaritan. He says, "He that showed mercy upon him." Now that was the Samaritan, but I think that the lawyer at this point still, he's not okay with the Samaritan. I think he's still looking at him as a dog, looking at him as somebody that's inferior, somebody that's not worth anything, that has no value. That seems to be his attitude. I may be reading too much into that, I don't know, but he didn't say, well, the Samaritan was the good guy. He didn't say all the priests and the Levite did wrong. No, he just said, well, the one that showed mercy to him kind of put it out there, and it seems like he just kind of walked on back away from it. Jesus said, "Go and do thou likewise." Go and do like the Samaritan. Be like the Samaritan. That's all the recording we have of this event that took place. And it doesn't specifically say that this was a parable. It doesn't say that this was just an example. I don't know if it really happened. I mean, if Jesus talking about events that actually happened, or whether it was a parable. I don't know. But the condition of the hearts of the people were something that really happened. This was a way that these people truly, honestly felt. And you can read about it, the way they viewed the Samaritans and the various things and how they did. The point being, their hearts were cold, they were hard, they had no compassion. This Samaritan had compassion on other people. And as I thought about it, and that's what he said. In the 37th verse, the lawyer said, "He that showed mercy on him had the Samaritan had mercy." Even the lawyer recognized and admitted that. Well, who is that like? Who does that bring to your mind? It brought to my mind Jesus. Jesus had compassion on me. He had mercy on me, and Jesus would have had every right to look at me as a Samaritan, as someone of no value, of somebody that didn't have anything good about him, because that part would have been true. I mean, it would have been. When I was a lost person, there was nothing good about me. But Jesus had compassion and mercy on me, as did this Samaritan. So I have to think that the Samaritan is showing forth a vision of Christ, of the work that Christ did. He's setting forth an example here of the way that God wants his people to treat other people. And that is with mercy, with compassion, with love. Not the way that these priests and Levites did, with indifference and to just walk on to aside. There's a lot that could be said here about this people and the way that they've grown. That is the religious people of the day. We don't know a whole lot about the Samaritan, other than this that we have here recorded, how he did everything he could for someone that was in need, regardless of how that person might have looked at him, regardless of how that person would have treated him, probably just moments before he fell amongst those thieves. And again, I could be reading too much in it, but the fact that he went from Jerusalem to Jericho leads me to believe he was a Jew. And there were probably Jews at that time, I'm sure there were Jews at that time that had compassion and mercy upon other people that wouldn't have treated this person beaten by the thieves, that would have helped him. But as a nation, as a whole, that's the condition that the people were in. And we can bring it on down to our day and time here. As a nation at whole, how are people? How do they handle things like this? God's people as a whole, how do they handle this type of situation? I believe there are some that are as the Samaritan, with compassion and mercy and willing to help out. But we really need to think about it and kind of be on guard, because it's very easy for us to want to be around people that are like ourselves. I do. I mean, I'm the worst of anybody, I believe, of only wanting to associate with people that I know, people that have the same thoughts that I have, the same beliefs that I have. But I don't think that was the example that we were given here today. It wasn't a good example we were given. It may have been the example that we were given is of the lawyer and the priest and the Levite. That's probably the way they were. They wanted to be around people they knew. That was their neighbors from their way of looking at things. But Jesus here is telling us that the whole world is our neighbor. Everybody is someone to have compassion on, mercy on, to be concerned about their soul, how that they're where they're going to spend eternity. Now, more than anything, I believe that we as God's people need to be led by God to who it is and what we're to do, who we're to talk with, where we're to go, where we're to hold our church membership, where we're to get on that into probably where we're to live and the jobs we're to hold. I think God ought to be directing every aspect of our life. And when that happens, we won't need to be worrying about if we're going to be stopping to help somebody on the side of the road that's going to be a trap. If everything in our life is led by God, if we're in a place where we're being trusting in God and doing what He'd have us to do, we need not worry about those type of things. The problem arises when I don't listen to God, when I don't turn to Him for guidance and instructions on every aspect of my life, because I don't. When I go out on my own and I'm driving down the road, well, that might not be the road God wants me on, both literally and figuratively. And so when that happens, that's where the problem comes in. That's where the traps are. Not just the traps that other men lay, but the traps that Satan puts out there for us. That's how Satan gets us, when we don't do what God would have us to do, when we don't consult with God on every aspect of our life. And that's when Satan lays those traps out, and he's able to entrap us. I guess that's everything I've got for today. Does anybody have any thoughts on this subject? Appreciate y'all showing up today. Let's keep the prayer request that was made earlier on our hearts. The Lord might hear those. And if everybody's...
Hey, Terry, I appreciate your study, and you and I looked at it the same. And it's funny because when you talked about being leery about helping people, I'm really leery about that. For the same reason you said, could it be a trap? I've thought of that multi times, because where Billy and I live, being we're in Metro, there's a lot of needy people around us, and we see those people a lot. So we both get off at an exit on a regular day-to-day basis, and there's always a beggar at that exit, always. Mm-hmm. And it's a different beggar. And then we also go through some lower established apartments as we come towards Nolansville Road, and you're forever seeing people walking. And sometimes they look like that. I want to pull over and go, hey, can I just give you a ride? Because they sometimes they're older people, sometimes they're handicapped. They're not asking you to pick them up, they're just walking. Mm-hmm. Now, I justified in my mind of that walking's good for you, and to go ahead and let them walk, because at least they're getting movement, which that's my way of justifying it, okay? That doesn't mean that's what... but because we're also leery about helping, you know, I can see how those people might have walked up and swapped sides of the road. I'm afraid I might have walked and swapped sides of the road. I'd like to sit and tell y'all I would never do that. I would be the Samaritan, but I honestly don't think I would have been. But it's funny, I don't think Jesus really cared whether or not the man who was injured was a Samaritan or a Jew. I don't think that was the point. No. I think the point is, it really hit me that because of where we're located and all the nationalities, mm-hmm. I mean, from here to my house, I can't tell you how many nationalities there are in this area. And as Caucasian Americans, I'm bad about judging people based on their race. That might be what hinders me from wanting to stop and help them based on their race. Mm-hmm. You know, if Lisa was walking down the road, it'd be quicker to ask her, hey, can I give you a hand? Than if a Muslim woman wrapped up in garb was walking down in 110 degree weather and really could just need it more so than maybe Lisa. You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. I judge that. So, but I think that Jesus is telling us here that we're all created equally. And we are all should be each other's neighbors. And so what really, really burdens me as I listen to you and we study this is the sharing of the message of the gospel. You know, we hinder ourselves. I don't. And I'm going to go ahead and throw y'all in there with me because we can look around our church house. We don't share that with enough people. Because I think, like you said, Terry, we're looking for people that look like us. We can do that when we've got somebody like in our store, Mercy Saves, we have so many people come in our stores that are different. You know, they're not Caucasian middle class people like Billy and I are. So I have to be really careful not to judge them based on all the tattoos and the ear piercings that they have, or maybe their language, and not necessarily that they cuss, but you can tell that they might be. And is that terrible? Y'all hear that? It's stereotypical of us. I don't think Jesus wants us to do that. He's telling us this right here. It's not just about the fact that we helped somebody on the road, but how about sharing your testimony with the lost and dying world that's all different nationalities? You know, my kids are really quick, buddy. They are my oldest two about, and Dylan too, but more so my oldest two because they're much more verbal about being careful of who we call Americans. You know, and reminding us that our forefathers came over here, that they weren't born here. And so when we have different nationalities coming over and birthing children in America, they're the same as the rest of us. You know, we're all Americans. We don't have a nationality. We're all mixed breeds. We're a bunch of mutts. You don't understand what I'm saying? So anyways, that's what really got to me in this lesson is that Jesus is telling us to spread his word. It doesn't matter what nationality, it doesn't matter. Everybody is our neighbor. So I like to think I can do better, and this kind of gives me a little motivation to at least try, because I know I'm so weak in my thoughts, and I'm very judgmental, and I know I shouldn't be. I know I shouldn't, but I can't help myself sometimes. I have to really say, Cindy, stop judging that person. Don't know anything about them. You know, the book... Sometimes it's pretty. The pretty ones are not so nice on the inside, and the ugly ones can be beautiful on the inside. And thus the Samaritan, he had gone through so much, he'd probably been judged his whole life, or at whatever point he became a Samaritan. I don't really understand when that happens, the crossover of breeds, but he'd probably been, you know, pointed at and been ugly to multi times. And sometimes I think when we're mistreated, we become more humble, and then we look at other people a little different. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that's worth. Sorry, I didn't do that.
Thank you. But yeah.
I know I said a lot. Sorry.
It's kind of, you know, I'm not going to say I would have been the one to stop and help the man either. I mean, I'm not.
I didn't think we would have been.
Yeah, but, and you're talking about the people that beg. Well, there's a person that every Sunday standing at the exit, and the thought that I think is
Well, there are a lot of jobs out there. Jobs aren't hard to come by. Good jobs are hard to come by. I'll say that. But just about anybody, it looks like if they want to work, could get a job. Now, I don't know, maybe that's not exactly right to look at that way. Maybe he doesn't have a way to get to a job. I don't know. But that is the thought that comes to my mind. Why don't you work? And
Billy and I probably pass at least 4 beggars on a daily basis between Smyrna and home.
And none of them look unable to do anything.
Right.
I mean,
sometimes you get some.
Yeah.
Some. We've got one on Harding down here where we pass him every Sunday when we go home. It's a beautiful red car that he gets in when he's done.
Yeah.
It's a nicer car than what I drive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's right there. It's parked in the Harding. So here, go down Murfreesboro Road.
You
know where
he is.
Now, he doesn't walk. He is handicapped in some form. He doesn't have proper walk. He doesn't walk properly.
Well,
but he's got a really nice. See, there he is. Do I hear what I just did? I judged him based on his car.
But still, I mean,
it's hard not to.
But why doesn't he have a job?
That's what I've been thinking. You know, you would think in Bible days that it would have been a lot different than what it is today. But apparently some of the same things, mm-hmm. about class, you know, classes of people. But apparently some of the same things went on then that goes on now. But now it's even more. I mean, like Cindy was saying, you have to be realistic to a certain degree about safety issues nowadays. I mean, that's part of it. You can't just walk into a, you know, whatever.
Right.
So I don't know, that makes it even.
Well, you come back to what you're saying, you know, you kind of think that if it were somebody handicapped, you might be, well, but there was a guy that stood out here at the corner of Rose and Burbank with the little walker thing for an hour or two, and then when he got tired of standing there, he threw it up on his shoulder and walked. I mean, he did. So.
When it comes to beggars, I let the Lord lead me. He lets me know. I really feel like he tells me when I really need to help somebody, and I try to do that. But I think that it's like when we've walked the neighborhood before, and we get to a certain house and there's people outside, and I'll hesitate based on their nationality. And I know that sounds terrible, but we have to remember we're all created equal. We're all sinners. We all have souls, you know, and we all have a right to be here, you know, if we're legal citizens. So it's just, you know, there's different issues today. Yes.
All right, if everybody's finished, let's be dismissed until 11 o'clock. Remember the prayer request. Don, would you dismiss us?
Father, thank you for today. Rescue and disturb the very large country. We should pray, Lord, for my efforts and peace. Help us to be more thankful for the things you have and might be more merciful to those who have less. Ask, Lord, now that you might throw loose and continue long for us, the Lord, that you might seek after thee, be one to save for the earth as a people. Open us now to more worship you with our pastor as he comes. Pray that he might say and do the things that be more pleasing to thee. Ask you now to go with us, help us as a people, that we might do more for thee. Keep us from the help of the past. Take us and bless us, we ask in the name of Jesus, for the sake we pray. Amen.
And Brother Don said, be more thankful, be more merciful. That will be more thankful, be more merciful. That really covers the best of the